Hope that the Lord gives you something here. I'm glad that the Lord died on the cross and rose again. Amen. I'm glad that we can thank Him and celebrate that every day of the year. Amen. If you let a day go by and don't thank the Lord for dying and rising again on the third day, you probably need to start. Amen. Go to Luke chapter 15 here this morning. Luke chapter number 15. I struggled a little bit with what to preach this morning. And sometimes it's a little bit easier to know what to preach. You always wonder and hope, amen, you got the right one and the Lord spoke to you. You don't know what's going on in people's lives, who's even going to be there from service to service. And sometimes you think you have the right one and then you don't think you did. And sometimes you did and you don't want to preach the wrong one. But I really believe this is what the Lord had me preach this morning. Luke chapter number 15. I'm going to start reading verse number 3. A familiar passage here, Luke chapter 15, verse number 3. The Bible says, "And he spake this parable unto them, saying, What man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness, and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance." Let's pray. Lord, I love you. Lord, I thank you for saving me. And Lord, I'm so thankful you took my place on the cross. And Lord, you bled, you died, you rose again the third day. And Lord, all of us that are saved in here this morning, Lord, you came and you looked for us, you hunted us down, convicted us and saved us by your grace. Thank you for all that you've done for us, for giving us a good church, a perfect word of God. And Lord, as we open it this morning, Lord, we confess that we're poor and needy. And Lord, I need you here today. So Lord, I ask you one more time, Lord, that you would touch and anoint me. I pray that your word would go forth with power and that you'd speak to hearts that are here and meet the needs that are here. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. As you well know, in the first two verses of chapter 15 here, the Pharisees and scribes murmured against the Lord. And in response, the Lord gives them this parable that goes through the end of the chapter. And the Lord did not have much time for the Pharisees and the Sadducees. They were always murmuring against the Lord. They're always complaining. They didn't like what he said. They didn't like how he said it. Didn't like how he did things. They wanted him to explain why he did it this way and why he didn't do it the way they were accustomed to doing it and the way they thought it should be done. And the Lord, in some ways, if you study the Gospels, the Lord did not have a lot of time for the Pharisees, but yet he always had time for sinners. But here in this parable I want to preach out this morning, he talks about this sheep here, a man in verse number 4 that had 100 sheep. If he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it. You see, even though he had 100 sheep, there was value in that one sheep that went astray. One out of 100, you might think 99 out of 100 is pretty good. I mean, if you get that on a test, most of you, right? Be pretty happy with that, especially if it was algebra, amen. I mean, 99, we'll just give us 99 all year and I'll stay home, amen. But to this shepherd, 99 out of 100 was not enough. And listen, I know in the world that we live in, I realize we're far from 99% that are saved. I have no idea how small a percentage of people in the world are saved today. But I do know this, the shepherd, the great shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ, for everyone that's lost out there in the wilderness, you know what he does? He cares for them and he wants them to be saved. This one sheep was valuable to the shepherd. So one person, even though in the world we live in, one out of over 7 billion is precious to the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm glad when I was 13 that I was precious enough to him for him to come and deal with me and convict me of my sin and extend the offer of salvation, not just once and not just twice, but time and time again. Aren't you glad that you were precious to the Lord when you were lost you were on your way to hell and sin had separated you from God and even turned your back on God. But aren't you glad that God loved you and had mercy on you and came and He looked for you and He found you and He was long-suffering until you got saved? I'm glad that we have value to the Lord Jesus Christ. You look at the story of this shepherd. I've preached out of this passage many times. There's so many things. Some say the sheep represents a lost person. Some say he represents a saved that went astray. And you can preach it all that way. But I'm just saying, what happened to this sheep here? The Bible says he got lost. He wandered off. It reminds me of Isaiah chapter 53. The Bible says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. Boy, is that not the problem? We want to do things our own way. We don't want to go God's way. We don't want to submit to the Word of God and the will of God and the way of God. We want to do things our way. And the Bible goes on and says, and the Lord had laid on him the iniquity of us all. In Matthew chapter 9, verse 36, the Lord looked out over Jerusalem. The Bible says, when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. You know what this world is full of today? There are people that have no shepherd. They're a sheep without a shepherd. This sheep, it got lost. It wandered off. It went its own way. So many today have gone their own way, with their own way into the world, their own way into sin, maybe their own way into religion or whatever it might be. But the world is full of people, and there's probably some even here this morning that have gone their own way away from God. I can see, can't you see, maybe that sheep as it's feeding, it sees that grass over there, it just looks a little bit greener than the grass it's grazing on. It gets distracted by that grass and just wanders a little bit, and before it knows, it takes a little bit of time, but it became distracted and it wandered off, and before you know it, it's lost. And I'm telling you, in the world that we live in today, the world is full of distractions. So much to get your attention, and maybe just a little bit at first, but before you know it, you'll be so far from where you ought to be, you'll be lost. And maybe it's not even a loss as in not having salvation, but just away from God. The world has the distraction of money. Man, it tells you, you got to make money. You got to have money. You never have enough money. And you can do almost anything, get a little bit more money. I've seen people get so distracted by a dollar bill. They got away from God. They got away from where they ought to be. And they're out there lost in the high weeds today. Some get distracted by work. They've got to work. Their company will go under if they don't work and sell their soul and their energy and everything they've got. They begin to miss ministries and devotions and time at home for work. And then they miss church. And before you know it, they're so far from God because of the distraction of work. Maybe it's pleasures. They just got to have a good time. The Bible, but one preacher said that entertainment was the devil's counterfeit for joy. But they go after the pleasures of the world. They go on vacations. I'm not against them, but then they go over the weekends and they end up in places and with people they got no business being around. And before you know it, because of pleasures, they're missing church. And then they're missing their missions money because they got to pay for the pleasures, and before you know it, they're so far from God because of pleasures. Some get distracted by friends, so-called friends and family, and they've got to try to keep them happy, and they've got to try to do what they tell them to do, and they don't want to be too different when they're around them. They don't want to stick out like a sore thumb, and before you know it, they get away from God. Maybe it's troubles and problems that come into our lives. I'm telling you today, we got so many sources for news and information. If you're not careful, you'll get distracted. You'll get all worked up because of the war in Ukraine and the economy and inflation and who the president is and who it should be. And you won't care about the Lord anymore or with your walk with God or for the lost that are dying or for doing the will of God. Before you know it, you get long away from God just by being distracted. You know, and you know this, but just being a little bit off course is dangerous the farther you go. We can come into church on a Sunday morning, dress in our Sunday finest, carry our Bible and sing amen and even raise our hand at the proper times in songs. and we can have started off course. We're just a little bit off course. We're just 5 degrees right now, and so we're still pretty close. It's hard to tell. But I'm telling you, you get down the road a few more weeks and months and years, you're going to be so far from where you ought to be. What happened just got a little bit off course. Because you lack foresight. See, when that sheep began to wander, it lacked the foresight to see the danger that it was headed for. It looked better over there, but before it knew it, it was lost. It did not realize the importance of staying with the shepherd. That sheep is not fully aware of the danger that it's in. Maybe at first it seemed like freedom. I mean, no more shepherd, no other 99 smelly sheep to bang into and try to fight for a little bit of grass and water, put up with their odd personalities. Man, he's all alone. He's on his own. He's his own sheep, amen. And he's having a great time in freedom and liberty. Is that not what the devil offers to the sinner? Man, you go be your own person. You rebel. You live in sin. You have all that the world has to offer. You take it all in. I mean, man, there's freedom. There's liberty in living life the way I want to live. But doesn't even realize the danger it's in. And the worst part about that sheep has no way of finding its own way back. Never will that sheep find its way back to the shepherd. Boy, what a picture of sinners lost in sin, gone astray, lost in the wilderness and the mountains of sin. No shepherd, lost, headed for destruction and eternity in a place called hell. You know the only hope for that lost sheep? It's the shepherd. That's the only hope. If the shepherd doesn't care, that sheep is doomed. But thank God for the shepherd. You know what he did? He began his search for that sheep. He leaves the 99 in the wilderness. You know, it's funny. You grow up in church, be in church. I've been in church 43 years now. Don't remember the first few years about it. Remember, I'm sure it was as wonderful as the rest. You know, people in church, they get all upset and maybe they feel like sometimes they're left out and there's not enough done for them. But what do you think about the 99 sheep when that shepherd left them? Why did he lead them? He left them for that one sheep that was lost. Sometimes when everything doesn't just go your way, the way that you think it ought to go in your great advanced spirituality, could you just maybe understand maybe there's somebody else that needs a little bit of time and attention, and maybe you can't just have it all for just a moment here in life. He leaves the 99 and all his attention and all his resources on the one that's lost. I see the picture in my mind, the Lord Jesus Christ leaving the glories of heaven. I mean, he's there with God the Father and God the Holy Ghost, and the seraphims and the cherubims and the angels are there. And I mean, they're crying, "Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty." I mean, a perfect place, a place of great beauty. And he leaves it all behind. He comes down to a sin-cursed earth. We read in Sunday school in Philippians 2, he took upon him the form of a servant. Here, he was one, he was God, yet he took on him the robe of a flesh. He lived a perfect life in this world. He was criticized. He was called the son of an illegitimate son. He was called, he was full of the devil. People rejected him. People hated him. People wanted nothing to do with him. But the Bible says the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Thank God, God the Father, loving the world, sent His only begotten Son to prove His love for us, that He might die on the cross and rise again after 3 days, that we might be saved. But this shepherd begins to search, and he searches until he finds it. I'm sure there was danger in the search. He's searching the mountainside and the wilderness, and in my mind, I see it's probably happening at least partially at nighttime where it's dark and there's danger and there's difficulty in the search. And man, there's a distance to go in the search. What distance from the throne down to the manger did Jesus Christ go for you and I? But thank God it's a patient search. He didn't give up right away. Thank God he didn't give up on you and I the first time we rejected Christ. Some of you sitting here today, you've been in church for so long and you've rejected Christ. You're lost. You're without God. He's come your way. He's extended that free gift of salvation. And you said no in your pride and in your self-righteousness and in your ignorance. You've rejected God. Yet he's patient. It was a particular search. He's looking for one sheep. That one sheep, I'm telling you, individuals matter to Jesus Christ. And thank God it was a prosperous search. He found it. I'm glad His search for me was prosperous. Aren't you glad He found you where you were, lost in sin, in the clutches of the devil, and He found us. And when He does, look at the Bible says there, verse 7, I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth. I know what some of you think, how could there be joy over somebody getting saved? I mean, that's no fun. I need some fun in the world. I need something with some pleasure, something that gets my flesh some enjoyment. But there's joy in heaven over one sinner that repenteth. It's great rejoicing. Great rejoicing. His friends and neighbors, he shares in his rejoicing. That shepherd is so excited. He wants others to know about the sheep that was lost and now it's found. Why? It's not to shame the sheep, but it's to glorify the fact that he's now found. He's so excited, he wants others to share in his rejoicing. Hey, how bad must you be for a sinner to get saved and you to sit there and have no joy and no excitement over someone getting saved? Something's wrong down in your heart, amen. It was a search that was prosperous, which I'm thankful for. And as he tells this parable, it's because these Pharisees, they can't seem to be glad that the Lord is after sinners. This sheep was lost. And let me look at the other thing here in this passage. Verse number 8, we see the silver. It says, either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it. Again, we have something that's lost. That's what I'm trying to get at today is, are you lost? Or have you lost something in your life? You see, the silver here was valuable to this woman. There's 10 pieces of it, and she loses one. You might think, well, 9 out of 10 is not bad. Again, if we had 9 out of 10, most probably algebra students would take 9 out of 10, not have to worry about it. We'd take it and go home. I know when I was in school, if that was English, you gave me 9 out of 10, and I didn't have to study and work, I'd been more than glad with one wrong out of 10. Here she misses one. Again, there's a value here. This is not a sheep, though. This is a possession. How did it become lost? Somehow it became misplaced amongst daily life. Did she lose it intentionally or on purpose? No, she did not. But somehow, I'm not sure how. I mean, usually you give a woman money, she's not going to lose it. Man, she may not give you the change back, but she's going to know where all 10 pieces are. She must only had 10 pieces because she hadn't had a chance to go spend it at the store yet, amen, or find the deal she had to get because it was a deal, amen. She hadn't got to the thrift store yet or the yard sale yet or the Salvation Army yet. And when she goes, she only has 9 out of 10. And there's a value to the one that she's missing. Listen, I'm telling you today, we live in a fast-paced and a busy and a complicated world. And we lose things. We lose things in the world that we live in. As Christians, we lose things. Now, physically, I hate losing things. Now, if I could lose a couple of my kids, I'd be on board with that. But they keep coming back. They like get in the van even if I try to leave without them. But I hate losing things. I hate thinking I know where something is. It's only happened once or twice in my recent memory. And I've been able to find it. It drives me crazy. Have you ever been, somebody said, hey, do you have something? You're like, yes, it's right here. And in your mind, it is. And then you go there and it's gone. Anybody ever been there? Is that not a terrible feeling? Right? That's when you say, wife, what'd you do with my whatever, right? Because it's always her fault. And if it's not her, it's the son. Amen? But we lose things. It's easy to lose things in the world and the life that we live. It's easy to get our priorities out of order. This woman did not intentionally lose this silver. She had not hid it. It was not intentional. It was by accident. You know what the silver did? It succumbed to the circumstances and temptations around it. At some point, she obviously must have dropped it without knowing, or it must have fallen out of a bag or something, and it must have rolled under something into a corner. And that silver, being just an inanimate object, being dead, it succumbed to the circumstances that were around it. We, as saved people, many times, unfortunately, we succumb to the circumstances and the temptations that come around us. How long was it lost? We don't know. She did not know that it was lost until one day she went for it. And it wasn't in the place that it was supposed to be in. But it was too late because it was already lost. And I'm telling you today, we can easily lose or misplace things in our life. Things that are valuable. Things that are important. If you're not careful, you can lose your devotions with God. I'm talking about your walk with God. You get busy. It's a busy world. And man, you've got so much to do and you've got so little time to do it. And you were so tired. You just had to sleep a little bit extra. And before you know it, some days have gone by and maybe some weeks and maybe even months have gone by. And where you once used to have a fervent walk with God, you'd read the Word of God and God would speak to you out of His book and you'd pray and you would actually see some prayers answered after a while. But now it's just become a thing that it's hit or miss, maybe a little bit, maybe just enough to say that you've done it, but God hadn't spoke to you for a long time. There's no fervency there. There's no more prayers being answered or even prayed. What happened? You lost something that you once had. And when you look back, you can't remember when exactly you lost it or how you did. But it just became misplaced. The priorities in your life got out of order. We can lose things even in our family. We that have children, for a while we do well and then we let some things slide. They're just little things and, you know, we're busy and we don't see them a lot. So when we do, we don't want to always be on them and we begin to let things slide. And in the training of our children, where we once were diligent and we once did our very best and it begged God to help us, before you know it, it's been a long time and we looked. And man, they're not listening and they're rebellious and they got bad attitudes just like we do. And we've let things slide that we once said were right, that we once used to practice, but now we've set them aside and we lost some things that were valuable. The priorities have gotten out of order in our home. And now we lift one thing up to our children instead of the other. Church is now more of a burden than a blessing. The ministries are just a duty rather than a delight. What happened? We lost something in our life. We put other things ahead, spending time with our family. This, I'm telling you, we only have our children for a short amount of time. We chase this and we chase that. And we go zealously after that. And the days turn into weeks and the weeks into months and the months into years. And before you know it, they're going to be gone one day. And we easily misplace them, get our priorities out of order. We're not as diligent as we once were. We don't work at our communication with them and try to figure out what's going on in their minds and in their hearts. Yes, you do have to walk through a tangled minefield sometime. Try to figure out what's going on in a teenager's mind and heart because they don't even know what's going on in there. But you still got to be diligent. But many times we let that go, or we could talk about spouses one with another. I was telling Tim the other day, I was talking to Elizabeth. I told her, and I asked her if she was enjoying being a mother, and of course she said she was. She said it's a lot better than being a wife, but I don't know why she said that. No, I'm just kidding. She didn't say that. I'm just teasing. But I gave her some advice. Sometimes people never ask for advice, so I just got to give it. You know what I'm saying? And I just told her, I said, just remember, when that little squirt grows up and leaves you, your husband will still be there. You know why I gave it to her? Because that's the advice my dad gives me. He still gives me. It's good advice. Your children are going to grow up and be gone, and you're going to be happily still married and with the spouse. But we can lose that relationship. How about the church? Boy, remember when you first came in the church, you and all your baggage and luggage. Now, some of you were born into the church. The church had no choice but to take you. You were born here, so you were basically born into a family that came to church. So we had to put up with you, amen. And the ones that were born here and your dirty diapers and you're spitting up and you're running around and all that. And then the rest of us that came in as adults, you came in, you had baggage and you had scars and you came in. And I mean, you didn't know at the time, but people were gracious with you and you were weird and you were worldly. Some of you were lost and you had weird thoughts and some of you prayed weird and said weird things and some of you still do. And you dressed weird and you were nothing but, I mean, you had problem after problem after problem. And the church was patient with you and prayed for you and preached to you and just loved you and made you feel like you were welcome and at home and took you in like part of the family, and they helped you and they put up with you, and now all of a sudden the church, well, it's not all that it should be. And I mean, the church, I don't know why it doesn't do this, and I don't know why it does this, and that which once was a blessing to you, now you're finding fault with, you're picking things apart. And where before the thought of missing a service, you'd say, I'd just die if I had to miss a service. And I'd say, man, if I could just take a break from that church, my life would be a lot better. What's happened? You've lost something that's valuable. What's worse about having something lost is when you don't know that it's lost. Something being lost is a terrible feeling. How about the ministries of the church? Boy, it used to be when you were an opportunity to be involved in the ministry, you jumped down. I mean, you didn't care what the ministry. You didn't care if it was the window washing ministry or the toilet cleaning ministry. You were glad to have a ministry. You prayed for it. You were there early. You stayed late. You talked about it. You thought about it. You prayed about it. You lived, breathed, and did everything about that ministry. And, I mean, your heart was in it. Your time was in it. Your money was in it. Your everything was in it. Now there's certain ministries that just not for you. There's certain ministries that you now, it's just too much time, it's too much effort, and the ones that we are in, we just do enough to get by. Why? Something, we've lost something along the way. Our zeal for the things of God, it used to be, we used to be so zealous, so excited. I mean, the preacher couldn't preach it hard enough. Somebody couldn't tell straight enough. We just love God, the church, everything to do. Now it's a duty. Everything's dry. We're dead half the time. We come in with a bad attitude. What we do for God, we do to so we can look better than somebody else. Where is our zeal? We've lost something along the way. Our servant's heart, boy, we used to serve. And I mean, have tears that God let us serve. Now it's a burden. It's cumbersome. Oh, I do so much. I just need a break. I'm just so busy for God. We used to have charity for the brethren. We loved them. Didn't matter what warts, how odd they were. Now all we see is the negatives. We're so critical. We used to have separation in our life. There used to be things that were wrong. Now those things are common practice. There's no more boundaries. We're more worldly than we've ever been. What's happened? You can lose something valuable in your life. How do you know if you lost something? A little to no time spent with it, or less than you used to, or it's not a priority anymore. You lose sight of it. You even forget about it. I was just telling my kids the other day, the first time I went on a mission trip by myself, I flew over to the Philippines. I think it was in 2012 or 2012. And then I flew into the Philippines and spent a night there and flew into New Guinea and spent some time with Brad and then Chad Wells and their dad. But I flew into Manila. It's a long flight. It's like 24 hours. And I landed and there was like a shuttle service that took me to a motel. We had booked through a travel agent. And I got in the motel. It was midnight, their time. I have no idea what time it was here. And I was very tired. And I checked in and went up my room and I slept. And the next day, I think at 10, I had to catch a shuttle back to airport, fly to New Guinea. I got up early. I was up early, like at 5, because time changed. And I remember I went down, they had breakfast, went back up my room. About 9 o'clock when I started, I hadn't done much. I'd taken a shower, so I was just putting a few things back in my suitcase. And I began to look for my passport, and I couldn't find my passport. I'm like, it's got to be. I had a little briefcase and I had a suitcase. So I tear everything out. Can't find it. I tear the room apart. You know, now it's 9:30, 9:40. I need a passport. I have no idea what to do. I mean, it's like the worst thing. I mean, I tore this room apart. I go down the front desk and I'm telling my story. And the woman there goes, wait a minute. She goes back. She pulls out this safe box, opens up, and there's my passport. She goes, when you checked in last night, you left your passport sitting on the counter. And fortunately, in the Philippines, now, this is a miracle of God. Somebody didn't swipe that. They stuck it in the safe box. But I'm telling you, that moment when I realized that I didn't have my passport, that was a bad moment. There was nothing spiritual about the trip anymore. Everything about me was, I didn't know what to do if I didn't have the passport. I might still be in the Philippines for all I know, having a singles ministry in the Philippines or something. That's a terrible thought. I didn't know I'd left it there. I'd slept all night and gone down to breakfast. I was so excited to be on a missions trip. It was great until I lost my passport. I'm telling you, that woman lost that piece of silver. Everything be going along fine. You think everything's just going along fine. Then all of a sudden, God shows you at some moment you've lost it. And boy, your heart sinks. And boy, you get that feeling. What did the woman do when she realized she lost it? She looked for it. She looked for it. Look what the Bible says she did there. Verse 8 says, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle. The first thing she did, she lit a candle. She got some light on the matter. The Bible says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." You know what happened? It got a little bit dark in that house. You need to get light on the matter. You need to stop seeing things the way you think they should be. You need to stop getting other people's advices on matters. And I'm not against that totally, but you need to start. You need to get some light on the matter. The light of the Word of God. Things had gotten a little dim. We need to just simply get back to believing and obeying the Word of God. We need to get back that the Word of God is our final authority in everything. Not some things, but in everything. Not ourselves, not what we think, not how we see it, not even how our best friend sees it. Amen. And listen, your best friend, they're really your enemy. Most of them are your enemy. They're going to tell you what you want to hear, and that's the worst thing you need to hear. Not only does she light a candle, it says she sweeps the house. Sweep the house. Anybody ever sweep a house before? These kids nowadays are so lazy. I mean, they even sweep hard surface floors with a vacuum. We had vacuum back in my day. We had like whisk brooms back in my day. She swept the house. What's she doing? She's cleaning it out. She's getting rid of the trash and that which is unnecessary that has covered up that which used to be important to her. I'm telling you, every once in a while, you need a good spring cleaning in your life, in my life, and in our homes, and even in our church. When you get rid of the trash, when you get rid of the clutter that's cluttered up our lives and has become more important to us than that which should be valuable, that which is unnecessary. We allow sin in our life. We allow worldliness in our lives. We allow the flesh to well up. And it runs us. It controls our thinking. It controls our decisions. It controls our appetites. We allow selfishness in our life. We see everything through the lens of self. We allow the world's philosophies in our home where once we condemned it, we now welcome it into our home. We need to clean that clutter and that junk out. You ever clean out your house? Brother Kevin, isn't it just blessing to clean your house out? Get rid of all that extra junk you've collected. I probably have said this, but back there, maybe during the shutdown, I think, although the other day I said something happened during the shutdown, and I was corrected that it didn't, so I don't remember, you know. But anyways, we got a 30-yard dumpster at our house and filled that up with junk that was in my house. You know how embarrassing that is? You know what's more embarrassing? I could probably do it again. 30 yards of junk. Well, I mean, it wasn't junk when you saw it at the yard sale or on the side of the road or took it off a job or when somebody gave it to you. It was great then, and then it sat in the garage for 6 years and you never touched it. In our lives, our homes, we need to clean that junk out. Our lives and homes can easily get filled with clutter, trash, unnecessary things. Our priorities get all out of balance. And it hides or it covers, even suffocates that which ought to be important to us. We need a good cleansing. The Bible says she searched diligently. It mattered to this woman. Listen, if you were going yard selling and you lost some money, it'd be diligent to you too. She searched with care. It mattered to her. Not finding that was not even an option. She does not stop until it's back in her possession. And I'm asking you today, how bad do we want that which we have lost? Are we willing to ask God and get serious with God? We even heard about revival. Maybe, listen, I'm sure there's some time in our life we can look back and we were closer to God than we are now. Does it matter to us? How bad do we want that which ought to be valuable? Are we willing to skip some meals or cry out to God? Are we willing to cut away some things that God says you need to get rid of? Are we willing to make changes in our life? Are we willing to get things right one with another? Here this morning. Look at that lost sheep. If you're not saved here this morning, you're in trouble. Only the good shepherd can save you. Maybe you are saved. All of us at times, there's things in our life that are wrong. We lose. We need to find them here this morning. Amen. Let's pray.